This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
My name is Kerry and I'm from Lancashire. And I first started listening to the OTI podcast about 2 years ago, but I've been really looking at wanting to change my daily drinking for a few years and really felt like I needed to change my relationship with alcohol. So I binge listened to the podcast, which I thought were fantastic, and then heard about the OTI community. So I joined up when I started off doing Sober October. Really, it's been an absolute game changer. The community is just amazing. It picks you up if you're feeling a bit down. The members support you and they celebrate your wins. I really don't think I would have be where I am now if it wasn't for the OTI community. So all I can say is give it a go. What have you got to lose?
So if you want to join us, go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Welcome to Over the Influence. This is a podcast where we sing about sobriety. We celebrate the good stuff. We share the cack bits too, but in the main, it's all absolutely wonderful. If you are just joining us for the first time, please let me very quickly reintroduce ourselves. We've been doing this for 2 years now. This all started at the beginning of lockdown. It's crazy to think that we've had now more than 250,000 downloads. Absolutely amazing. So thank you. But if you've just stumbled across us and you're sober curious or setting out in the early days of an alcohol-free journey, welcome. It's lovely to have you here. My name is Sharon Hartley. Everybody calls me Shaz, based in Lancashire in the northwest of England. After this summer, in September, I will somehow be celebrating 4 years. Yes, 4 years alcohol-free. I have people tell me in the early days, you'll never do 4 days, you'll not get through this weekend. And I said, hold my wine. And here we are. Absolutely incredible. It's all very life-changing. Who'd have thunk it? And here we are, singing about sobriety. I don't sing about it on my own. We've got Ben Anderson, my co-host. Ben, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you, Shaz. I'm Ben. I am 33. I live in Liverpool. And today, I'm exactly 23 months alcohol-free.
No!
This time next month, I'll be celebrating 2 years, which I can't believe. The long version is long, so the short version is the one I'll give you. 2 years, never felt better, didn't mean to be here. And honestly, I am very confident now to say that I'm a non-drinker. I don't drink, and I know that I won't drink again. I didn't have a rock bottom with alcohol. I was heading in that direction. Over the Influence came into my life exactly the right time. I've now got a baby on the way. I'm getting married next year. My relationships have improved. Work life has improved. I just love being alcohol free. And we want everybody to try 100 days, don't we, Shaz? Anyone who's listening, just try 100 consecutive days alcohol free. In the grand scheme of life, it's not that long. And I'll tell you what, you'll be amazed at the changes that happen. No matter what your current drinking status is, doesn't matter how much you drink now, you will see positive changes if you decide to, even just for a little bit, knock it on the head. We're talking to someone today who decided that over 2 years ago, aren't we, Shaz?
Oh, this is...
And is thriving.
This is really exciting. This is really exciting. I just quickly wanted to add as well, because a lot of people ask me, how much did you drink? How bad did it get? What was your rock bottom? Just to quickly add on, I'm 48 years old. It got to the stage where I was drinking every single day, and a bottle of wine became the new normal. You know, all that nonsense that's pushed in your face about, it's wine o'clock, it's mummy's drinking hour, and all that stuff. That's where I got to. I've got 3 kids, but at the age of 44, I thought, you know what? I just need to take a break. Enough is enough. Wanted to jump off that relentless hangover wheel of hell. It can be done. You can go from being a daily drinker to completely changing your life. Talking about life-changing journeys, we are bringing somebody back on the pod. Now, this doesn't happen with everybody. Only the special few, Ben, come back, don't they, for a second time.
Absolutely.
So today,
it's only happened once before, hasn't it?
Twice.
Second time. Oh, our third.
We had Delroy Taylor, our amazing mate, Dell, and Charlie Martinez, who is now part of the OTI team. And now, to add to that prestigious list, last time he was here, we called him Mr. 365 because he was just celebrating his 365. It's Ian Thirlbeck now celebrating his 2 years. 2 years alcohol-free. Ian, welcome back to OTI.
Thank you very much.
That was quite an intro, wasn't it?
That was fabulous. Yeah, you always give good intros, Sharon. Got to give you that.
Now, if anybody's sort of tuning in for the first time and thinking, who's Ian? Who's Mr. 365? I will direct you back to that episode because we talked, obviously, then about your first year of sobriety. I think in this episode with you, Ian, it's going to be really interesting to talk about what happens in that second year, because for many people, and I think yourself included, I can count myself in that, that's when the real, real life-changing magic starts to happen. But before we get into that, just give people an idea as to who you are and where you were with your drinking more than 2 years ago.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Shaz. Yeah, so hello, everybody. I'm Ian. I'm now 50 years old, so that wasn't happening last time we spoke. And live in the northeast of England, born and bred in the northeast. I'm married with two children. Son is 18, daughter is 15. And yeah, like I said a year ago, you know, I was good at drinking. I used to, my whole life revolved around drinking, my social life, relaxing at home. You know, everything from you know, pretty much leaving school to going to university to then getting a sort of full-time career. The job involved a lot of drinking, so I was kind of not just drinking with friends and family on a weekend. I was out during the week, networking, as they call it. And and it was just, it got to the point just at the start of lockdown where, well, I'd had a lot, I think, running up to that, I think I was already fed up to the back teeth of drinking, but like a lot of people, just didn't know how to stop. And one minute I was sick as a chip of drinking, the next minute I was telling myself I didn't have a problem, and you know, and off would go again. But I think one day, and it wasn't anything in particular bad happened, I just thought, do you know what, I've had enough of this. It coincided with the start of lockdown, so we weren't going anywhere. I wasn't having to go out and network. The pubs were shut, and I just thought, this is a good time to give it a go. And off I went, and then joined you guys not too long after that. And that's really when I started to get my traction, as they say, in terms of, you know, really getting my teeth into it and got some momentum, and off I went from there.
It's fabulous, Ian. And you know what? It's really funny doing this a year apart, because you're the same man, but you're not. And I can't quite put my finger on it, Shaz.
I can put my finger on it. Where do we start? Where do we start? Ian, when you first joined Over the Influence and we were sort of dabbling with Zoom calls before the community became an actual thing, I remember meeting you and straight away, obviously a lovely bloke, but you were so anxious about the whole alcohol-free journey. You had worries about when you were drinking, and your worries seemed to like multiply having stopped drinking. Come on to those in just a sec, because I'm diverting, I'm going all over the show. I get really excited when we talk to Ian, because me personally, I've seen Ian's changes firsthand over the last 2 years. It's been incredible. And it's your confidence and your self-belief and your determination to change it all. It's your desire now to help others, you know, I think particularly fellas as well, who find themselves in the same boat. Oh, the bloody hell can I socialise without alcohol? You've changed it all. He runs marathons. He goes on holiday. He travels solo. He now hosts Zoom calls within the community. I think for me, if I was to sum it up, it's about confidence, Ian. And you just seem like a new man. And I think you are just a shining, glowing example of how you can change it all when you just remove one thing, despite the terror in those early days.
Oh, Shaz, that's really kind. Thank you very much. That's got me a bit emotional. That's really kind. Thank you. I think...
Don't set me up, because I'm on the edge, Ian, this week. I'm on the edge.
I know. Right, OK. Let's keep it straight down the line. Yeah, I think the reason I was keen to come on and chat again was because I always remember in my first year, and I remember on the posts that I'm reading now from people who, you know, sometimes find it hard to get going and get moving. And I'm thinking, and I remember I used to read posts from people who were 18 months, 2 years in and stuff. And they would say, oh, it just gets better and better and this gets great. And, you know, it doesn't stop getting better. And I just thought, that's rubbish. What a load of nonsense. And I shut up and stopped, you know, overdoing it because, you know, surely once you've stopped drinking, that's it. You've stopped drinking and, you know, you just, life can't get much better than just stop drinking. And it's hard to explain, but I remember getting quite angry and probably because I was struggling and finding it hard to get going and what have you. But it has. And I think, you know, since in the last 12 months, especially in the last 6 months, I would say, I've really noticed a difference in my, without sounding big-headed, my quiet confidence, if you know what I mean. I am a lot more...
That's exactly what I've written down, quiet confidence. Because it is, that's what it is, isn't it? Like, the changes that you have... Because when you say confidence, you kind of you think of someone who's a bit brash and annoying, don't you? Oh, they're bloody confident. You've got confidence, but it is a quiet inner confidence, isn't it? That's exactly what it is.
I think I've always known that I'm quite fortunate in that, you know, I've got a lovely wife, two lovely kids. I've got a job. I co-run a small business, which is going okay. So it's gone well through lockdown, despite it potentially not going okay, but it's continued to go well. That's been going now for 15 years we've been running that business, and, you know, and it's going okay. So I've always had all the right ingredients in terms of, you know, good social life, good friends, good family, good work environment and all the rest of it. And yet when I was drinking, I always found myself looking on the bad side of things and worrying about things and just struggling. And I think in the last 12 months, what I've realised is I've always known I've had a good life, if you know what I mean, but I've not been able to appreciate it. Whereas now I'm starting to be able to appreciate it and enjoy the things that I've got, and actually day by day getting the most out of the day rather than worrying about what's coming or what's gone by, or just being appreciative of everything I've got, really.
Worrying about things that might not even happen.
Yeah, exactly, which invariably don't, do they? You know, I wish I'd made a list of all the things I worry about, because I do sort of keep a bit of a rolling list of things, and so often things just never happen. And, you know, it's being aware of that. One of the things I have been doing, which I've probably mentioned on some of the Zoom calls, is I've started doing just 10 minutes worth of mindfulness, you know, on the apps. And I was one of these who poo-pooed these sort of things and just thought, oh, it's just a load of nonsense. But again, I've been doing that for probably 6 months, fairly consistently, not every day, but fairly consistently. And I think that helps just, you know, just calm myself down and just levels myself and, you know, sets me up for the day, really. So it's just taking a bit more time for yourself and, you know, liking yourself a bit more and being your own best friend. All the buzzwords that you read about and hear about, but, you know, the buzzwords and cliches, because they're true. You know, these things are important.
I need some top tips off you, Ian. So I've been doing this nonsense for 4 years. I'm the least calm person. I know life is full on and, you know, you remove booze and you sort of, you've got all this time. And we cram it full with, like you just said there, the things that matter, the things that are important, the things that we truly, truly enjoy. And for 4 years, it's not because I think it's sort of woo-woo or I've poo-pooed it. No, perhaps I have a bit, actually. I thought, oh, mindfulness, meditation, I literally can't be arsed. It's the one thing that I've yet to tackle. How have you found that it's helped you? Because, like you said, that it's only 10 minutes a day. Surely I can find 10 minutes.
I think when you sit there, and sometimes I don't do it, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm not perfect, but I do try and, you know, first thing in the morning before the day gets too crazy, I'll sit down and take myself off to the shed and sit there and listen to the podcast. The family think I'm mad, you know. But, but it's just, and whilst you're doing it, my mind's all over the place. You know, it's thinking about what I've got to do. It goes back in the past. It's going abstract. It's very difficult to make it sit still. But it's the tips and tricks that they give you as the sort of talking you through it that I find, you know, quite helpful. And whilst you're doing it, you don't realise it's helping you. But I think it is one of the things that's definitely just calmed me down, made me a lot more, you know, a lot more relaxed and appreciative and aware of things. You know, just stupid things like when you're out for a walk, just you know, notice the nature around you. And I sound like an absolute...
You know, you don't, because we're all tangent, nodding but, in agreement here. We get it.
Yeah. And it is. And it's just recognising and appreciating the simple things rather than trying to second guess everything and worrying about things and, yeah, all the things I used to be guilty of, really. But until you stop drinking, until you kind of, that was the start, you know, and then you think, right, okay, I'm going to get a bit healthier. I'm going to really, you know, take my running quite seriously, or I'm going to do this, that and the other, and I'm going to watch my diet and things. But until you actually, to me anyway, until you'd stop drinking, none of that was possible. Because I was just in this, you know, as you would put it, Shaz, a hamster wheel of hell, you know, just every week was just, you know, get the Monday, God, I feel terrible, you know, drank too much the weekend, really can't be doing any running until Wednesday, Thursday, and it just never got going, really. So you've got to start by, you know, by just having a break from drinking, really.
Ian, I couldn't agree more. We always talk about the kind of, you get more energy when you give up alcohol. Do you get more energy, or actually do you just stop spending energy on getting through? Like, I used to turn up to work on a Monday. If I'd had a big night on the Saturday, the effort it took, the focus it took to get myself out of bed, get ready and look presentable for work on a Monday, there's a huge amount of energy that went into actually being there in the first place on a hangover. Do you get more energy, or do you just stop spending energy on being, you know, on trying to present a version of yourself that's acceptable because actually you're feeling like crap after the weekend?
I think it's probably both, isn't it, Ben? I think, yeah, it's a bit of both. I think that's probably why I'm a bit more quietly confident, because, you know, I've stopped putting on this persona to try and sort of mask what's going on behind the scenes, you know. So it took a while for all that sort of nonsense to almost dry up and fall off, you know, and sort of then the real you sort of comes out and you know, you're a bit more sort of a bit more together.
I love that, the real you, because this is you now, isn't it?
Yeah.
I want you to think back to all those worries that you had, Ian, about first removing booze. Oh, dear God, how am I going to socialise? What's work going to think? What are people going to think? How am I going to enjoy myself? You're now 2 years in. Did those worries ever transpire, or was it, stupid question, was it worth it, the worry?
It wasn't worth the worry, but for me, I'm a people pleaser. I can't help it. I do. I like to be liked, if you know what I mean. I think probably we've all got a bit of that in us, but I think for me, it was a big thing. So I think it was always inevitable, and it has took me, I would say, probably 18 months to probably be able to say now with confidence, I don't worry anymore about going to a function or an event and not drinking, and get to the point where I really don't care what people think about not drinking anymore. It's took me a long time. I read other people's posts where that's happened a lot sooner. I know, Ben, I get the impression from listening to you that it's not an issue for you, really, but it always was for me.
Because I've got no mates and no social life, and that's why. It's much easier to not drink when you don't go anywhere. You just stay at home all the time.
Yeah.
But I remember you talking about this, even in, you know, in your one-year episode, the first time you were on the podcast, you were talking about this, how you weren't quite over this caring what other people thought thing. So that's happened in year two. You can confidently say that you are there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think it's because I'm conscious of not coming across too boastful, but
you're not, Ian. You know,
Enjoy it.
I like myself, and I know that I'm all right now, if you know what I mean. And sort of, so, you know, I don't have to constantly try and make people laugh. I don't have to worry about saying the wrong thing. Let other people talk, you know, let other people be the daft lad, if you know what I mean. And I can happily sit back and say things when I want to say things, or when I don't want to, and just be a bit more relaxed, really. So, yeah, just
I
a lot more.
I don't like the fact that you
together.
Feel uncomfortable about sounding boastful or bragging, or, you know, oh, here I am 2 years alcohol free, because both myself and Ben know what a slog this has been. It's not all been, you know, sunshine and rainbows, but if you can't come on this podcast, Over the Influence, which celebrates sobriety and sing about your success to inspire, if it's just one other person listening now, some fella who's listening thinking, I am I'm sick of this shit. I just want to change. I want to be where Ian's done. If you can't do it on here, there's something wrong. So we will heartily encourage you to really celebrate your achievements, Ian, because everything has changed. And I think when you remove booze for that first year, that in itself is very much what you're focused on, isn't it? I'm not going to drink. Okay, I've got my first wedding. Oh, I've done that. Okay, brilliant. Right, moving on. Oh, I've got something else going on. And you do sort of spend that first year not drinking. But then as it all starts to fall into place and you keep not drinking, a lot of people talk about big changes that happen in year two, not stuff you were planning. You were never sort of planning, I know what, I'm going to become quietly confident. That has happened, hasn't it, as a result. Talk to us about year two and the differences that you are enjoying and that you're experiencing, but that were maybe never on the cards. You know, that they come as a surprise, don't they, some of the changes, I think.
Yeah, and I suppose what you just said there about, you know, I don't like talking about myself in that way, but okay, there are some things that I've done which I am proud of in my own self, but I don't feel the need to talk about it. But as you know, I've got into running in quite a big way since I stopped drinking, and in the last 12 months I ran three marathons. In fact, I ran three marathons in 6 months. So I did one in November, one in December and then one in April, which, that's when you crackers. Say it like that, you think, bloody hell,
I did,
you
know, three marathons in 6 months
and yet I still don't see myself as a runner.
Yeah, of course.
Do you know what I mean? So yeah, so
I think you qualify now.
Yeah, maybe I think you do. Maybe I do. But yes, I did. I did York Marathon in November, and then I got a place which I wasn't expecting to get to do Valencia in December.
Oh, and that's nice.
And I went away on my own. Flew out. And just, yeah, spent about 4 or 5 nights in Valencia, which was on my own, which was, I'd recommend going away, on your own for anybody who's sort of, of a certain age and with wife and children and all the rest of it. It's honestly, it's the best gift you can give to yourself, which sounds terrible because it means like I don't love my wife and kids. I do. But, you know, it was like a detox for the brain, it was just, and to do something like that. And it was just absolutely amazing. I really enjoyed that. So it's one of the highlights of my life, which sounds terrible, doesn't it?
No, it doesn't.
and then did Rotterdam at the start of April. And then I've got...
On your own again?
No, I did that.
Took family. You let them come,
yeah,
to that.
He felt guilty.
So we had a family holiday on the back of that, which was lovely. And then, I got my name down for London in October, which I'm going to run for. I think if anyone's listened, I think I mentioned on the last podcast, my mum's got quite advanced dementia, so I'm going to try and sort of raise a bit of cash for that. So I've set myself a big challenge to do that.
Amazing, Ian.
But I've done other things as well, and they're not all physical things, but I did, for my 50th birthday, my friend bought me a surprise water skiing trip, which was absolutely amazing. I've done some big cycling events and things. So yeah, just lots of other things to get in the diary that are things to look forward to and work towards. And just enjoying other stuff in life. I'm just going to say this, something that irritated me, somebody accused me of being, jokingly, they said, oh, you're a bit boring now that you don't drink.
I hate the morning.
And it really got me thinking. And I just thought, I'm not boring. And I just think all these things that you do, these are good things, these are things to be proud of. All right, I don't want to go to the pub as often as I used to, but
that's crazy. So
what? Yeah, you know what, Ian? I was boring when my main hobby was going to the pub. Like, that was literally, I remember applying for this job that brought me to Liverpool, and they said, like, well, it's part of it, one of the standard questions, well, what do you do in your spare time? Remember, I just think, I don't do anything. And in my spare time, I go to the pub and I see my mates, and I came up with something. But you kind of have that realization. I was like, shit, my hobby is drinking. Yeah. How bad is that?
We get so good at it, don't we?
Yeah, quite.
Well, I used to call it socialising. So I used to say exactly the same. I used to say, oh yeah, one of my hobbies is socialising. I'm a social person. Which basically meant to go to the pub and getting blind drunk.
Whereas actually, there's a lot more stuff to be doing now that we're not drinking, which is far more fulfilling. Drinking, being in the same place every Friday night, being in the same place, i.e. your bed, feeling like crap on a Saturday morning. That's boring. That's the boring stuff.
Yeah, There's things I used to do out of almost like duress. So my daughter's football team, I've coached for a number of years now. And I can't say I started doing it once I stopped drinking. I did it, you know, well prior to that. But I almost used to, resent it. Not resent it, that's not true. But I used to find it hard to find the time to do it and give it proper attention. And it was just, oh, God, I've got this to do. Oh, I've got that to do. Right. Oh, it's just something else to do. I help. I do like a mentoring thing with some of the local schools around here. And again, it was like, oh, God, I've got this to do. And I now actually put a lot of more effort and thought and focus into these things, because they're not just something else that's on a list, a long list of things to do before I can enjoy myself at the weekend by drinking. You know, it's like life's a lot more balanced. So,
and I think as well, Ian, when you do remove booze, you care more about everything, don't you?
Totally. I think that's it. And again, I think this comes from the for me anyway, not that I needed to be taught how to care, but I think with the mindfulness really helped with me in terms of just that, you know, that thing about compassion and gratitude and just being a bit more of aware of how you're fitting into society rather than just constantly fighting with everyone around you to try and be top dog at whatever it is you might be doing. Being a bit more of a sort of team player, if you know what I mean. So yeah, definitely.
Ian, I'm reading a book at the moment called The Happiness Advantage. And I've always struggled with gratitude as a concept. I've always thought it's a bit woo-woo and a bit, well, why would you do that? Like, it's a bit fluffy for me, I thought. They talk about journaling and gratitude journaling in particular. And they did a study where they asked people to do it regularly. Three things every single day that they're grateful for. And they said to them, try and find new things every day. Don't just write, you know, my family, my dog, my whatever. You know, try and find new things every single day. They did it for a month. And what they found was that the people who did it every single day, they got better at generally just in their day-to-day life spotting things, because they had to write it down, because they were tasked with writing it down every single day and finding three new things. They just started seeing more good things and more opportunities wherever they looked in life. And I think that's where it suddenly stops becoming fluffy and woo-woo, when you actually start thinking about like your mindfulness. What you're actually doing is kind of retraining the brain, where you're saying, I need to give myself, even if it's just 10 minutes, I need to give myself that time in the day because it sets me up. You're retraining your brain, aren't you, to go, it's important for me. I can stop. I don't have to be a million miles an hour all the time. By doing these things consistently, it's not woo-woo. There's real science behind it. There's real psychology to it, which you take through to the rest of your day.
Totally. And I think it's just it's switching your brain onto a different sort of focus of things that you see gratitude from. And it could be as simple as things like, I never used to appreciate the weather, you know? I didn't appreciate the change in seasons. I live literally 2 minutes walk from the beach. I would never go down to the beach. It was almost like I turned my back on the beach. I always had my head just on all this list of things that I felt I needed to do and how life was getting on top of me and it was all just too much. And I think just taking a bit more time for yourself and taking more time for others and just being a bit more aware of what's going on around you on a really simple basis. Once you start doing it, it kind of gets a bit of a life of its own, doesn't it? And it's sort of, you know, you then more you start looking at, you know, the birds in the garden or the, I don't know, the ships on the horizon or whatever, the more you actually, you know, the more you then alert to it all the time. So, but again, it's giving yourself the getting rid of that brain fog to allow yourself the time to get started. And it doesn't happen overnight. You know, 2 years is a long time in some ways, but I was thinking about this the other day. 2 years when you're 50, I haven't worked out the maths, but it's as a percentage, it's not very much. So, you know, to get yourself and get your brain right and get yourself thinking a bit more calmly and simply about things, it's a massive investment, isn't it, for the rest of your life to do that. So it's not really a long time at all.
We're just going to take a quick break from this fabulous episode of Over the Influence. We do hope you are enjoying it. In fact, if you are, if you wouldn't mind giving us a review on your podcast provider, that would be much appreciated. Thank you kindly. We get so much feedback from our members who have joined our online community. It's just an incredible place, a really friendly, alcohol-free corner of the internet, as we call it. There are many, many aspects to the community which are just brilliant. We host monthly masterclasses. We've got forums where we can share your wins and celebrate your milestones. We've got weekly blogs that are updated, sharing stories of alcohol-free inspiration. And as well, within the community, we've got a fabulous little chat feature. It's a bit like WhatsApp and Messenger, except you don't have to give your personal contact details. You can just contact fellow members, direct people that are on your wavelength. Again, it's about support, it's about connection, it's about celebration, and it's about having a laugh. It's brilliant. If you would like further information about what we do at Over the Influence, just have a look at the website, overtheinfluence.co.uk. And if you would like us to answer any questions at all, do not hesitate to drop us an email, otihq@overtheinfluence.co.uk. Okay, let's get back to the episode.
Ian, can we talk about day 366 and beyond? Because a lot of people set out to do a year. They go, you know what, I'm going to take a year off drinking. They get to that year, they feel great, but then they go, I've done it now. I've done my year. I'm going to go back to drinking again. Albeit, you know, often cases differently. Maybe not the same drinking habits that they had before, but they still go back to drinking. This is a really difficult question to ask because obviously you didn't do that. Do you think that these benefits and these changes that you've seen since day 366, they didn't happen in year one, but you've now said that you've been 18 months in, it took you to find that kind of quiet confidence to not care about what other people thought of your not drinking. If you'd gone back to drinking after that year, if you'd not carried on, do you think these changes still would have happened? Do you think that by kind of drinking differently to how you drank beforehand, with that kind of knowledge of, you know, that confidence of having a year off, a whole year alcohol free?
No, I know what you mean. You basically, I think for me, I would have been back where I started pretty quickly. And I don't mean that, might not have necessarily meant I could have kidded myself that, oh, actually now I drink a lot more responsibly and I drink infrequently, or I stop at one drink, or drinking isn't really important. I've managed to reframe everything and now I'm back and I can, you know, keep it in its place. I suppose we're all different, and maybe that is possible for some people. For me, it wasn't. I think a bit like, you know, probably what I said on the first podcast was, you know, I'm all or nothing. And I know a lot of us are like that. And I think that I had to give, you know, everything to not drinking. So I had to sort of, it's certainly in that first year, I had to just basically, you know, really put a lot of energy into stopping drinking, which meant, you know, all the usual, reading the Quitlet, joining this community, you know, listening to the podcast, everything that revolved around it. But I think in year two and onwards, I think it's more about, like I've said, things like investing that time, investing really heavily in things like mindfulness, personal development, you know, physical training. But I don't think you can do these things if you've gone halfway back to where you were. You've got to still keep studying it like a topic. So I think it comes well under the umbrella of personal development, doesn't it? To me, I want to continue to develop as a person, and I couldn't do that if I'd gone back to drinking in any way, shape or form.
I just want to come back as well to what you said before, when you said, you know, when you were in the early days and you'd see people 18 months on and they're bleating on about, oh, it gets better and better, and it is a struggle to believe it. Isn't it? It really is.
Oh, yeah.
But as you said there, it does, and you get better as a person, which therefore makes, I don't know, you sort of magically seem to create these opportunities, whatever they might be. Like, you've mentioned a lot about the running you're doing, which is just fantastic. For somebody else, it could be literally starting walking, getting out by the car, whatever your thing is. It allows that to happen. But none of this happens overnight. I think you need actually the patience of a saint. You know, when you're talking about 1 year and 2 year, particularly if you're in week one, week two, month three, it's so hard to imagine that. So I think you need patience. And you're right, Ian, you've got to keep working at it. I'm nearly 4 years in and I don't have the... there's no cravings to drink. It's not like, oh, I really want to drink. But you're constantly, excuse me for saying this, growing as a person on this this alcohol-free journey. And it is ever-evolving. Coming back to what Ben said about the changes for you in year two, can you imagine getting to day 366 and all that work you put in, Ian, and the changes that you've experienced and that quiet confidence we talked about, drinking and then undoing all that hard work? I'm like you. It's just never going to happen. And I just, the thought of it is, personally, it's terrifying. It's like you've come too far.
Yeah, totally. It used to be that I was always kind of sort of, you know, impress people who typically used to drink, if you like. So if I was in the pub, I was always trying to make people laugh. I was always trying to stay till the very end. I was always trying to drink as much as, if not more, than everybody else, and make people laugh as much as I possibly could, and, you know, almost get their approval. Whereas now I kind of sort of, and it's hard to say this without sounding like you sort of feel like you're superior or better than people, but I'm proud that I don't drink.
Yes.
And I'm really proud that, yeah, sort of when I go to an event and I hear people, you hear things in people's voices and you think things I never used to hear about people who typically previously I would have been impressed by. I'm now listening with a different set of ears and I'm thinking, you're not as, the things aren't as rosy in your garden as you're sort of making out. And I kind of can see that now, because, you know, I've sort of, and that sounds horrible, doesn't it? Because I'm not bad mouthing them. I just kind of, and if I'd, like I say, if I'd gone back to drinking, I wouldn't be seeing that. I wouldn't be feeling as good about myself, and I wouldn't be sort of, you know, I wouldn't be giving it as much vigor and as much determination to do things like I do. I almost see sort of doing all these things, be it walking in the hills or doing big bike rides or water skiing or doing runs, or I see those as almost like a sort of, not compensation for not drinking, because that sounds like I'm missing out on something, but they're the bonuses.
It's your rewards.
It's a reward. That's what it is. It's a reward to myself for all the things that, you know, other people seem to think is good. I don't want to do those, but I want some reward. I want rewards, and these rewards are all these other things that make me feel so much better, you know, mentally make me feel so much better.
Ian, you could never sound arrogant or big-headed or superior. You're one of the nicest men that we have ever, ever met. And the fact that you're worried that you might come across that way just speaks to your character.
Exactly.
And shows that you're a very thoroughly lovely man. It's interesting what you're saying about those kind of the social situations and spotting things that you wouldn't have spotted before. It's not superior. I think it's just that when you give up drinking, you realise that you can be different. You can live life in a different way. You don't have to subscribe to live the lifestyle that society says is the right way to live.
Yeah.
And you kind of just start spotting things, don't you? Well, hang on. Just because society says that that's what success is, for example. Nice house, good car, whatever, you go, well, hang on, you can therefore be successful but horribly unhappy, or you can not be as successful in inverted commas but be thoroughly happy. I think it just, do you know what I mean? It kind of gives you, when you give up alcohol, you realise that in all areas of life, you don't have to do what everyone else does just because everyone else does it.
Totally. I mean, that's you just, you know, hit the nail on the head there, Ben. And that's how I feel. You know, don't get me wrong. I like nice things just like other people do. But I like to think I've got them in the place. You know, there's a place for them, and it is beneath, you know, day to day happiness. Be that walking in the hills, walking on the beach, going for a run down along the beach, planning things like the Three Peaks Challenge that we're doing soon. They're the main things, aren't they? And you know, yes, it's nice to have a nice house, nice to have a nice car, but you've got to prioritise these things. And I think, just go back to the thing about the worrying about what people think who might be drinking. I think it's what I've noticed since I've met some great friends, including friends through this community, is the minute you meet these people, there's no need to worry about these things, because you know fine well that you're on the same page, you're having the same conversations, and there isn't that sort of worry about what people think. Whereas, and maybe this is something I need to work on, but you know, there is still that worry a little bit that you're kind of different to people who are still drinking. And it isn't a them and us, but I just feel like I've got the secret and I know how things work now. And you kind of want to say it, but you don't want to ram it down people's throats.
Cookie Collective, yeah. Circa 1990s.
I've got the secret.
But it's true, Ian. Ian, when we first met, is it 2 years ago?
Yeah, I think it was 18 months ago, I think. I think I was halfway through my first year.
Yeah, so maybe 5 or 6 months in, and you joined one of our very, very first Zoom calls. And it was obviously a pleasure to meet you. I've said this before, lovely, lovely, lovely chap. Quite anxious about the whole thing. You know, you've said this yourself and thinking, oh, God, what's this going to be like to have to talk to these people? And this is quite difficult. And let's just fast forward to now, 2 years in, you are now hosting your own Zoom calls with members of our community. That there to me, it makes my heart sing. Thank you, first of all, for giving back to the community, Ian. For myself and Ben, it's what it's all about. There's nobody better placed to help others along the way, you know, particularly during the early days. But talking about that quiet confidence, both myself and you could possibly not have imagined that happening from those very first Zoom calls.
I know, it's bonkers, isn't it? And these are the things you just don't look, you know, sometimes I should look back more and sort of enjoy the fruits of your efforts, because you're absolutely right. It is fantastic that I can do that and I enjoy it. I get something from it personally as well. It's nice to be able to help you guys out, and it's nice to be able to help out the guys who were sort of, you know, different stages on the journey. We haven't used that word, have we? The journey. And I'm grateful for the opportunity, and it helps me as well, because it helps me, you know, from a selfish point of view, process the thoughts that I'm having when you're hearing other people.
Yeah.
And other people are talking about things and their experiences, and it gives me confidence that I'm on the right track myself. Because these are all good people and they're all thinking along the same sort of lines.
Well, our community members speak so highly of you. People really enjoy those calls. And Janet, who's another of our community members who's listening to this recording now, watching this call, Ian, you are such a calm, inspirational person in the community, and it shines through. I couldn't have said it better myself, Ian. You should be so proud of how far you've come. And in many ways, you know, it's still only the beginning. Rest of your life ahead.
Yeah, I mean, this community is great, and I'm really grateful that I've kind of become part of it, because I've made some good friends out of it. You know, I've been walking a couple of times. I've met, I don't know if I can name names, but I met the lady who, you know, was up in Scotland doing the Edinburgh Marathon, came down to see me in Whitby Bay. We had a lovely evening eating pizza and eating ice cream and having a really good chat. And, you know, I wouldn't have met these people had I not been on this community. So it's a two-way street. And I can't wait for next weekend for the Three Peaks Challenge as well.
Over to you, Ben.
Yeah, I can. I just realised that we've got to walk 26 bloody miles on Saturday. Someone in our community last week, if you don't know, a load of Over the Influencers, we're all getting together and doing the Yorkshire Three Peaks Challenge. Someone said, oh, you're going to go, you walk in the hills next weekend, aren't you? I was like, they're not hills, they're bloody mountains. 26 miles. My personal trainer, Ian, is one of the fittest men you've ever seen in your entire life. He did it a couple of weekends ago and he couldn't walk the next day. So it's one of the hardest things he's ever done. I'm at that point now, we're looking at it this weekend thinking, why did we sign? Why did we do this? Why couldn't we have just all got together and had a nice coffee?
Do that after love. Going, I'll meet you, bro.
Oh blimey. But I am looking, it's going to be great to see you. Ian, I think it's absolutely wonderful. I think we see it with so many of our community members as well. There is a weird kind of, you join and you listen to the podcast and you read the Quitlet. And at the start of your journey, it's very much kind of focusing on your sobriety, isn't it? And kind of, you know, people join the community and they benefit from other people's posts. And it's about kind of what you can get from it that will help you. There comes a point, doesn't there, where suddenly the thing that helps you is helping others. Which is a weird, and we see it all the time. And actually, it's not just, you know, it's wonderful that people want to do it because they want to help and they want to help spread the message. But there is also, there is that kind of, there is that personal benefit of helping others, isn't there? I think it's where the real happiness comes, actually. Out of everything that I do, we had a message last week for someone I won't mention who's the name. They didn't say that this podcast changed their life. They said this podcast saved their life. And when you get feedback like that, you're like, oh my God, this is by far, out of all the different podcasts that I do, this is my favourite, because you do get that kind of satisfaction from giving back, don't you?
I think it was my mum used to say, it's nice to be nice. And I think, you know, it's nice to be able to be in a position where
it's one of my favorites.
You know, you can help other people. And not that, you know, it's not that I'm some sort of evangelist who's sort of here to sort of, you know, help everybody out. But I think it is, everybody gets sort of a warm feeling from being able to help people. And it's that empathy, isn't it, of being in that position and knowing exactly what these people are going through. And you're almost qualified to help because you've done it, and you've done it recently, you know. So who else is better to be able to sort of give out some sort of advice than somebody who's just been through it not that long ago? And I'm conscious again that you're gonna have a go at me again for saying the wrong thing. But you know, I'm sometimes worried that I'm sometimes too positive on the posts, because it is hard, especially in the very early days. And I think sometimes you think, oh, this person must be reading, thinking, oh, here he is again, Chirpy Charlie, sort of with some sort of like words of, you know, positivity. But I think it's better to be positive and better to, you know, to sort of keep people up than...
Yeah, and also, Ian, you know, and I will jump in again.
Go on.
With that positivity comes honesty. You're not making this up. It was Susan who's on this call. Susan joined us on the podcast and spoke about her 365. And it's actually
Susan
something...
Susan McGarry, the believer.
She believers. I want to believe these people, she said. We're not making it up. And it's okay, Ian, to absolutely sing about sobriety and share that positivity along with the honesty that goes with it, because you are inspiring other people along the way. Somebody else watching this, another fabulous community member, Neil. Ian's first podcast helped me massively. He's a brilliant male role model. His forum posts are also full of nuggets of wisdom. Ian, you are a legend, mate. Big up yourself, Ian. Nobody's saying... Bit too positive, this fella. You know, let's tone down that positivity about sobriety. It helps so many people. And I love the fact you are so calm and considered. And what's the word I need, Ben, when somebody doesn't realise...
Handsome.
Put him.
Handsome. You forgot handsome.
Handsome.
Yeah.
Legend. There's a...
What do you mean? What
hilarious.
Explain it to
hilarious,
me,
hilarious, charismatic.
Hilarious. Modest.
Modest.
Is that what it is? Thanks, Susan.
Thanks, Susan.
You are very modest with it, and it's lovely that you want to kind of you want to make sure that you are presenting yourself in a way that doesn't rub people up the wrong way. And I think that's a, you know, you don't want to rub it in their faces. You don't want to shout about your success in a kind of nerner, look how great I am. But shouting about your success, Ian, is so important. Like, we say it all the time on this podcast. If you're confident enough to be not kind of loud and proud, but if you're confident enough to be openly alcohol free, you never know in your life, the business networking events you go to, the family gatherings where the aunties have seen you for the last couple of years because the bloody coronavirus come round, and the cousins, and you never know who's watching. So if you are confident enough to talk about those positives, then you don't know who you're going to impact. So it's, I love that you want to do it in the right way, but please always feel confident to shout about those positives, because
that is,
it's
yeah,
fabulous.
Actually, something I wanted to talk about, because I almost feel like I've been living two lives for the last sort of 2 years. I've obviously made lots of great friends through the community, and obviously by doing these podcasts, you know, I suppose the word is out there that you know that I am heavily involved in this community, and I'm proud of it. But I don't really talk about it with the vast majority of people. And it's something I've been grappling with for the last few weeks, because I think if I'm going to be 100% open and honest and authentic, maybe I need to be a bit more open and honest about this group that I'm involved in. It's almost
maybe
like
that's
a bit of
a year three thing,
Ian. I think it is. And I think it's a bit of a, it almost still feels like a bit of a dirty secret, which it shouldn't be. It's ridiculous, because, you know, we all know this is the right thing to be doing. And I suppose unless we're all openly talking about it, then maybe people need to, you know, maybe other people won't be aware of it. But it's a big step to going into, let's say, the office on you know, the next day and say, right, guys, I want to tell you all about this podcast I've been doing. Have a listen to this. It's, that's a big step, but maybe that's the next one.
But I don't think you have to do it that way, Ian. In many cases, you know, we talk about the lighthouse effect. People are watching you, whether you like it or not. There'll be people in your circle going, they can't fail to notice the changes within you. There'll be somebody that comes up to you at some point and will go, how have you done this? What are you doing? What's this filthy secret, this OTI thing we've heard about? What is that? And then you can spill, you can sing like a canary. Don't ever feel you've got to go, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. You know, there are people that will be watching and admiring. I don't mean watching and scorning. I mean, looking at you just to see those benefits and those changes because you made that decision to remove one thing. They can't fail to be impressed by it. And send them our way when they ask all the questions and we shall answer everything about Over the Influence.
I have actually had a couple of people contact me who obviously have heard it, do know me from non-OTI, if you like, and have been really sort of quite complimentary about both me and the, you know, and about the group. So, yeah, it's definitely out there. And it's nice when you get those messages because then, you know, you do know that you're doing the right thing.
Ian, as always, it's been an absolute pleasure. Please, can we put a date in the diary to do this sort of yearly and we can do a catch-up yeah. in 2023 with Mr. 3 Years? Yeah. Because you've got so much to share, so much positivity. You are, like it or not, quietly inspirational. You're doing amazing things with our community, and for that, we are so very grateful. There is no one better place to help others, you know, who are in particular in the early stages of their journey. Ian, how would you sum up, if you don't mind me asking, what Over the Influence means to you and our members?
Oh, it's been a game changer. I think just, like I've said, I've met some really good people who I now consider, including yourselves, good friends. That's one side of it. I think that it's just a platform to be, I'm going to say be yourself there, I don't mean it like that. It's a platform to be open with your own sort of feelings and how you're feeling about things. And if you want a bit of a rant on the platform, you can. If you want to help people out on the platform, you can. If you want to post something funny, just encourage somebody along. It's just a great community. It's also, I love it because it's so upbeat as well. And I think that's really important. I think, you know, life is, you know, for living, and I think it's about giving people the opportunity to see the benefits and the good things in life that sort of is the kickstart to then, you know, get the momentum and yeah, really get things going. So guys, just want to thank you very much indeed for everything that you do, and you know, just I'm thankful that I am part of this community. So yeah, keep it up.
Ian, you are proof that giving up booze really is just the beginning, and I've absolutely loved catching up with you.
Cheers, guys.
Hi, this is Ben, and I really hope that you enjoyed this week's episode of Over the Influence. I'd absolutely love to talk to you about what you thought of it. Of course, you can drop me an email anytime at ben@overtheinfluence.co.uk. But even better, why don't you tell me what you thought about it face-to-face on one of our fabulous OTI community Zoom calls. Every week, I host 2 Zoom calls for our members, and they're wonderful. Shaz hosts them as well, and we absolutely love meeting you and talking to you about how your alcohol-free journey is going. We give words of encouragement when you need them. As Shaz says, we'll give you a kick up the backside, if that's the kind of motivation that you respond to. And of course, we have loads of fun on these calls too, having a laugh with like-minded people who've got to know each other really, really well through the community and genuinely care about how each other are doing. So sign up at overtheinfluence.co.uk now, go to the Book Your Zoom section and look for my big face to book onto one of my Zoom calls. I'd absolutely love to see you soon. Of course, by becoming an OTI community member at overtheinfluence.co.uk, you're not just getting loads of stuff to help you with your own sobriety journey, like the Zoom calls, forums, chat, OTI on the go, masterclasses, and all the other things that you get as being part of our fabulous community. You're also supporting us and our mission here at Over the Influence, which is to encourage as many people as we can to try giving up alcohol by singing about the joys of sobriety from the rooftops. So, thank you. that address again, overtheinfluence.co.uk, and really hope to see you soon.